In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the Episcopal Church, we listen to our scripture readings on a three-year cycle. So we hear from different gospels each year. We have different stories as we go throughout the year. But there are some stories that come up every year, same time every year. Obviously, Christmas, Easter, those are the same. But always, the Sunday after Easter is the story of Doubting Thomas. And I love this because it is important that we always remember that the faith that we have in Easter and the doubt that we often have the rest of the year, many times that we fall into, that faith and doubt are two sides of the same coin. And I really believe that that's why we always read Doubting Thomas the Sunday after Easter. So we have this beautiful story when Jesus first appears to the disciples in a closed, locked room. So that's extraordinary, right? He appears. He's not a ghost, though. He's real. But he appears to them, but Thomas isn't there. And then a week later, we hear they are gathered again, and Thomas is there this time. And he has said before, I'm not going to believe. And then we see him getting to experience what the rest of the disciples have experienced. I appreciate the fact that Thomas stuck around. He had to have seen his friends and hearing them say these crazy things about Jesus coming back and think that they were driven mad with grief. And he could have said, I'm done, and walked away. This is too dangerous. The longer I'm with these people, the more likely it is I'm going to get arrested. He could have been done and left. But he stayed in community. He stayed with them and engaged with them in their grief, and was rewarded by seeing his Lord and Master. As I was praying about this scripture, there were two things that came out to me that I had never really realized before or thought about before. There were two of them. The first is that there was a full week between these two appearances, and we don't really have information about what happened in between that time. There were other appearances that happened at different times, but we don't really have anything that happened there. So I sort of was praying about that. Now, this is totally non-biblical, but what I want to have happened during that week's time is that Jesus went to go see his mom. I think that she deserved that. I think that I love that picture. I love the idea of him appearing to her in her grief and being with her for that week and sitting and allowing each other to heal each other. I just like that idea. The other thing that dawned on me, however, is that we have Jesus who was dead, full on dead, resurrected, came back to life, in a new and somehow different way, but still had his wounds. Like, his whole body was not healed. They didn't disappear. They were still there. His wounds were still there. Even though he was resurrected, his wounds were still there. But isn't that always the case? Whenever we are hurt or maimed or beaten down by life, and we come out on the other side resurrected and a different person, we still retain those wounds, don't we? They never really go away. They become a part of us. The other day I had the opportunity to go to something called a poetry slam at a local high school. It was students getting up and reading poetry that they had written. It was very, very emotional for them. It was very raw. It was very angsty, teenage angsty, but it was also very, very real. And there was a lot of pain and shame and hurt that I heard. Really personal experiences. Young Hispanic women, young African American men, young people who had really, really struggled, and they were putting it out there and being so honest and vulnerable in front of their classmates in the form of this poetry. And it was a really beautiful thing. But it's difficult to watch our young people as those wounds in life are starting. You don't like to see them get hurt. And what I wanted to say to each of those young people as they're talking about the wounds that they've already have been inflicted upon them in their life and wounds that they had inflicted on others is to own them. To own them because they will become a part of who they are and they will become stronger and wiser because of them. So we all have these wounds, these hurts, these heartbreaks, these dreams that have died, whatever it is. What do we do with them? Well, as with everything else in our life, we look to Jesus as our example. What did Jesus do? Well, he allowed God to use those wounds to bring someone from doubt to belief. So how do we do that? Well, first off, we don't allow the hurts in our lives to make us bitter, angry. We don't hold on to that. We work to forgive those who have hurt us and who have inflicted those wounds on us. I've talked about this before, and it's the hardest thing. Forgiving someone isn't really about them. It's about our own healing. We have to claim and name those wounds and not hide them in the dark places. We have to claim them because they are a big part of what makes you who you are. Ultimately, those wounds, we need to allow God to use our whole selves, the good, the bad, and the scarred, all of those wounds, to redeem those wounds and to allow them to witness to the power of God's love and healing in a doubting world. Amen.